All right, very good. Welcome. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mary Beth Henry, and I am an extension agent in Polk County. I do programming for people that have small farms, and we have a collaborative presentation today. This is Whitney Fung. She's the Family and Consumer Science Agent in our county, and we're going to talk about assessing the food security in Polk County.
Okay, so when we're talking about community food security, there's lots of different definitions that's out there, but we wanted to focus specifically on providing safe, culturally acceptable, nutritionally adequate foods through a sustainable food system to maximize community self-reliance and social justice. And food insecurity is what the opposite, what doesn't provide those things. And there's a couple of components that we do have to consider when looking at food security and food insecurity. It's first is the physical availability. Is the food production in your county or area sufficient to meet the needs of the people that are food insecure, as well as the entire county? The access to food, those that need the food, are they able to walk to the grocery store? Do they have a car, transportation to get to the places, as well as the affordability of the foods that they're buying? And food utilization is somewhat new. This is considering the nutritional value of those foods and how it affects people's health outcomes. And stability also is important, is the kind of the balance and having all those three components over time. So the USDA has been providing grants for community food projects since the 1990s, and they've compiled some of the data to have some indicators of success. And you could see here that there's different components to consider, and you may have different roles in that. Today we're just going to highlight a few of these. I'm the more focusing on the yellow stars, the healthy people, strong communities, as the Family Consumer Sciences part of it, and then Mary Beth will kind of talk a little bit about the farms and gardens and the local economy. But we're going to highlight the specifics of Polk County, and we're going to go through some of those numbers so that you're able to assess your area as well, talk about the strengths, weaknesses, gaps, and the opportunities for future programming. So we pulled some of the data from the CDC and the Census Bureau to look at some of the poverty rates in America as well as Polk County, and you could see the first image shows the trend that poverty rates are increasing, or maybe in the last couple of years perhaps stabilizing, but there's definitely a higher percentage of poverty rates in Florida than the United States. And in Polk County, 1 in 6 people are food insecure. So this is a graph that you can use taken from the data from the USDA Economic Research Service. There's the Food Access Research Atlas, as well as the Food Environment Atlas. And the green parts of the image are showing the food desert locations. And traditionally, food desert definition is 1 mile urban or 10 miles rural to the nearest grocery store, but they don't really look at the definition of food deserts anymore. They're looking more so in access to store, low income and low access, as well as the transportation and ability to reach those foods. And here we highlighted some of the numbers in Polk County, and you can see that in the parentheses I have 0.48, 0.18, and 0.40, those are the density of those stores. So there are more convenience stores than grocery stores, and there's also a large amount of fast food restaurants, but zero farmers markets that accept food stamps. So there's a need for being able to provide more food access to those that need healthy, fresh, local produce. Another consideration, the availability of foods, whether or not these people can access and get those foods and to be healthy in the long run, is these food insecure individuals in Polk County, they qualify for the federal nutrition programs, but there's still a large percentage that don't have help. And we highlighted some of the health statistics here to show that having access to healthy foods definitely plays a big role in the health of our communities. And in the parentheses, you have certain numbers. Those are linked to the leading causes of death. So we want to be able to provide those healthy foods, and Mary Beth will talk a little bit about the small farms portion of it.
Okay, So Whitney covered kind of a quick picture of the status in terms of health and access for citizens. And so we're going to look at now kind of the agricultural infrastructure, how well equipped are farmers in Polk County to meet the needs of these limited access audiences. So we're going to go over some strengths and weaknesses. And one of the big strengths that we have in Polk County is our location. So as you can see on the slide here, we're within an hour to both Orlando and Tampa. So we have centers of populations that our farmers could be selling to. And not only that, we have three main thoroughways, highways that people travel to get to other places. So we're in a good position not only to service access or service centers of populations, but also to get our products out around the state or around the country. Another strength that we have in Polk County is that we have a lot of land. So we're actually the same size as Rhode Island. So it's really a very large county, and we have a lot of farms. So the number of farms, though, is declining. So I think from 2007 until now, there's been a decline about 13%. So most of the farms that we have in Polk County are small. So you can see that most of them are less than 50 acres. That's that brown section there. But we do have the strength that most small farmers are well educated. So about 36% have a bachelor's degree or higher. So we're looking at people that are well positioned to kind of take up the reins and try something new. So in terms of weaknesses for the food system or farmers meeting those needs in the food system, we do have a lack of diversity. So we've got lots of land, but most of it's in pasture land and then also citrus production. So Polk County is number one for citrus production and number four for cow-calf operations. Okay. And then as you can see from a study that was done previously, we have many farmers that just don't have a lot of experience. Another weakness that we have is that people aren't making very much money off of what they're doing. So if people aren't making money, they're not likely to continue. So as you can see here, about half really are making less than $10,000 on their current operation. And so this raises the flag in terms of economic sustainability of those farms over time. One thing that we can do is try to look at access to markets and how well a farmer can get their product to markets, what are available. So in Polk County, we do have a number of farmers markets, as you can see on the slide. Most of those are relatively small and not very robust. We have zero food hubs, and we do have one wholesale market you can see not within Polk County, but in close proximity. So in terms of the agricultural infrastructure of Polk County, I looked at this as kind of both a strength and a weakness. We have an established history of agricultural production, so people expect or are thinking in terms of agriculture. But most of that has been within defined industries, and so it is kind of a challenge to kind of overcome that natural tendency or what has been done before. If you take a look on the screen, you can see that we do have a number of fruit and vegetable packing houses within the vicinity. So on this side, you can see 101 statewide, okay? And then within our county and the neighboring county, you've got 23 different packing and processing facilities. So if you look at the graphic there, you can see there's a large concentration of these facilities within Central Florida, which is where we're at. I would also point out that we have kind of a negative there, and that most of these are citrus packing houses. Okay, and so transitioning to something new is a bit of a challenge. Same idea here with fruit and vegetable wholesalers. So we have a lot of them available. They are mostly in citrus. Some citrus packing houses have been open to doing some new crops like peaches. So we have some infrastructure, but we do need to look at how we might translate that to meet additional crops down the line. On this slide, you can see that there are some advantages to looking for new crops in terms of return to the farm. So hopefully you can tell 41% of the price of strawberries actually comes back to the farm, as compared to 17% of orange juice that's not from concentrate. And so there is an advantage for a farm to looking at new crops. We do have meat processing. I wouldn't trust the statistics on this because I think these are all custom operators. So overall, we do have a higher percentage of our population that's at risk We have strong infrastructure, but we need to kind of transition to maybe some direct marketing and exploration of additional crops to support the economic sustainability of farms over time.
So again, here's the USDA kind of definition of things to consider when you're talking about community food security. You might have a different role in each one, but this is the importance of collaboration and finding partners to strengthen each one of these parts.
So we've had some ideas. We put a letter of interest in to maybe have a mobile market, maybe do some vending machines, which is kind of a new and wild idea. But overall, we want to look for new ways to explore marketing schemes that will meet the needs of both those people with limited access, but also the need for a farm to make money. So Whitney's kind of the feed the hungry. I'm kind of like, they better make money or they're not going to keep doing it.
And I work with a lot of the nonprofits and the clinics, and it's kind of difficult, but whether you're trying to give the free food out at those food pantries or trying to provide affordable foods, we can build those relationships. And I think that's one of the benefits of Mary Beth and I. We are able to combine that nutrition education as well as the provider side and being able to increase the access. And we mentioned earlier the Food Policy Council. That's a big thing across the nation right now. In Polk County, we just started ours, and it's called the Hunger Council, and it's a big community collaborative of people from transportation, local government, community resource centers, nonprofits, clinics, and those providers, the farmers. How can we all work together to be able to help the food security in your area? Some of the limitations, we referenced a few of the data sources from the ERS, CDC, Census Bureau, and when you're using that to conduct your own assessment, just being careful of the time-sensitive data. Some are estimates, some may not be necessarily accurate if it's from the national level. You may want to collect from your local level transportation folks, but just keeping that in mind.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we're talking about complex things, so you'll probably need to partner with other agencies. Look for ways to partner with people that are already working in these various arenas. So with that, I think we're done. You can get with us after.
We've got two minutes. About 2 minutes for questions.
Do you think there's good potential? I mean, I know that people are creating a horrible problem here, but it might open up some infrastructure. I mean, do you think there's potential for people to launch a food hub out of one of those maybe packing?
Well, I think that we are in a good position. I think that people are open to new ideas. So, for example, pomegranates are something that have been explored. Peaches are new, and there are citrus packing houses that are packing peaches now. So I think that we're in a good position to kind of, play the figure-it-out game. But it is a figure-it-out game. It does take some time.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry, her question was about what's the reasoning behind the loss of farms. So there's a million reasons. I would say that citrus greening is probably a good reason for someone that really wasn't heavily involved in the business to sell, because if they don't keep up on spraying, they're going to lose what they have. There's other reasons. Most farmers are older. I think 57 is the average age, and so whether or not they're the future generations want to take that up. Urbanization, we've got a couple different centers of population, and people rather have money than land.
Okay, that's about it for questions, so thank you.